By way of review, last week we talked about rest, what happens when you rest, and today we're going to end it with just talking about what is built when you rest. There's a difference. There's I obeyed, and as a result, this just kind of naturally happens, versus I'm intentionally obeying, and I'm looking for what it is, core foundational things that are built, so I understand what my foundation's made of. We talked last week about what happens, and it's this. We said when you rest, you gain new perspective. We said that when you rest, you realize you're not indispensable, which maybe that could challenge us at times. And we said, thirdly, that when we rest, we will find our healing. Our body repairs itself while you're sleeping. Do you remember that? When you have had a cut or an injury or a bruise, it could be a broken bone, a surgery, whatever. It may take time, but while your body is resting, it is healing itself. It's knitting itself back together. So it is that God desires in our relationships and in our spiritual walk with Him, that we become one with Him. We're going to look at Daniel, and we're just going to kind of glance at Daniel today. And you might say, Daniel? Sabbath? Really? You know, because if you think that, that's what I thought when I was in my office and I was putting this together. I got to tell you, I was going a whole different direction. I had it all laid out, man. It was a pretty package, and I said, God, oh, here you are, my Sunday message. And He went, pfft. Said, I got something else for you. And I'm like, really? I worked on that for like, do you know how many hours? And He said, yeah, don't use that. That, you know, coo, you know, use this. And I said, Daniel, I don't get it. Why are we going to Daniel? But here's the thing about Daniel. I looked around and I was like, Daniel. I was looking for Daniel Sabbath, Daniel Sabbath, Daniel Sabbath. Daniel was a Sabbathing man. Couldn't find it. But then I started looking at his lifestyle and I realized that every principle this man lived out was one that was based upon honoring the Lord, resting and Sabbathing. We're going to take a look at that in just a moment. You and I live in a place where two kingdoms collide. We have the kingdom of God and we have the kingdom of this world, and bam, they smack right into each other, because the kingdom of God says A, the kingdom of this world says B, and the question that is on the floor is, whose kingdom are you going to come under? Because whoever's kingdom you come under their authority as well. And you must abide by their laws, and you must abide by their rules. And if you ever think for one moment, well, if I say no to the kingdom of God, and I say no to the kingdom of this world, I'll just be my own kingdom, you have by default become a kingdom of the world. Because this world is a sin nature that lives for itself. And you have by definition just become a part of it. So, these two collide, and the question on the floor is, should we choose the kingdom of God, or should we choose the kingdom of the world? Now, that's a loaded question from a pastor to you in church here on a Sunday morning. We'd all say, yeah, I want to choose the kingdom of God. But how about when you go home, when the pressure's on, when your boss is a Mr. Cranky Pants, things aren't going well in the house, your kids are like just weirding you out, and all this. Do you still honor the Lord and find ways to apply His biblical principles? Do you still choose the kingdom of God? See, when we choose the kingdom of the world, we must become subject to those rules of that kingdom. There's laws, right? Did you know that there's a bunch of stupid laws that are out there? A bunch of dumb ones. I Googled a few of them just that are here in Iowa, okay? So let me show you a few. We got one. Go ahead and throw the first one up here. It is illegal for mustached men to kiss women in public. Did you know that? That is an actual law that's written somewhere. Now let's go. There's another one. Throw that up there. It is illegal for a kiss to last longer than 6 minutes. Crikey. Let me just say that if you have to kiss somebody in public longer than 6 minutes, there's a little bit more going on, you know. You probably got a few other issues there. But they actually, here's the funny part. If they actually have a law that it's illegal to kiss longer than 6 minutes, you know why they have it? Because there was actually somebody that was probably doing that. Here's another law. Throw this one out there. In Cedar Rapids, it is illegal to read someone's palms within the city limits. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, dude, we should be able to read palms. I'm not for that. I was just laughing at the part where it says, within city limits. Like we can put a law on that. Next one. In Ottumwa, a man may not wink at any woman he does not know. So when you're in Ottumwa, don't you dare walk down the street and go, how you doing? You will get cuffed and stuffed. Oh, what's the next one? In Marshalltown, it's illegal for horses to eat fire hydrants. Well, I'm so thankful that we have that one in place. We got another one? Oh, yes. In Mount Vernon, over by Lisbon, One must have written permission from city council before throwing bricks or stones into the highway. I'm just going to put it out there. I think whether you have permission or not, you're going to have some trouble with the law eventually if you're doing that. Is there another one? Oh, last one. Iowa legislation once passed the resolution law ordering the state cafeteria to start serving cornbread. I guess simply because we live in Iowa and we're a place of corn. Here's some stupid laws. Now, you might say, well, yeah, it's not a big deal, but you know what? They're just dumb laws. If we live under this kingdom, we're going to have to live under these rules and these laws. We live under the kingdom of God. Well, he's got some rules and he's got some laws too. You know what one of them is? Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. He's got a few others, you know, which we've talked about in the past. But there's certain laws in this world that if we choose to live in this world, we are subject to the penalties and the rewards of the laws that are here in this world. If we choose to live in under the king's kingdom, we come under his protection. We come under his provisions. And now I know what you're thinking because I did this. Oh, cool. I'm going to live under the kingdom, king's kingdom, and therefore I don't have to live by the world's rules. Oh, no, because the word of God says that we still have to honor authority. We still have to honor those who are placed in authority above us. Well, I don't like my president or my leader or my mayor or whatever. I don't remember the Bible saying pray for them if you like them or if you feel like it. As a matter of fact, I would suggest that if you don't like them, pray even harder because maybe they just need a little bit more. Maybe you and I need to hear from God a little bit more in that area. But my point is whatever kingdom you become subject to, you must follow their laws. And Daniel was a man who found himself in a place. He's kind of between a rock and a hard place. And obeying God spelt trouble for him. Daniel was deported from Jerusalem to Babylon, along with a number of his other countrymen. He actually served four Babylonian kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus the Persian. Now, King Darius really liked Daniel, and Darius did this. He split up his country into like 120 divisions, okay? So let me use these words. In the Bible, it says governors and satraps and all that. What it means is he split it up into 120 areas and he made a mayor in each one of them, okay? I'm just going to say that for today. He put a mayor in 120 of them, and then he had three district supervisors over all of those mayors. Daniel was one of those district supervisors, okay? He was favored of the king, but yet this man Daniel was one who was a captive, but yet he had such a favor from God that the king recognized it. And so he would give him favor. Nobody else liked that. As a matter of fact, they hated Daniel because of that favor. They hated Daniel because he was making more money. They hated Daniel because he got more time with the king. They hated Daniel because he was annoying the tar out of them, all because of the favor of God. Daniel was a man who, though found himself in captivity to this kingdom, was free indeed in Christ Jesus and had God's favor because he knew who he was in Christ Jesus. How did he know that? Because he spent time in the presence of God. He Sabbathed. Well, I thought Sabbathing was just saying no to the world and yes to God and sitting around and enjoying his creation. Yes, it is. That's a part of it. But it's knowing who you are in Christ Jesus and letting it become part of your lifestyle. See, there's four things I want to give you. The first three I'll give fairly quickly, and I'll spend some time on the last one, talking about what is built or established when I Sabbath. See, the people that did not like Daniel, it says this in verse 7. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, all have consulted, all those other mayors, that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. They said, how many of you like a national you day where everyone praises you for 24 hours? Well, you might say no after a few minutes, but your initial thought would be like, yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. Because we all like to be encouraged. And the king said, this is a great idea. I love this, but it was a setup. It was a dumb law that was made out of manipulation, out of jealousy. See, it was a law that was a setup from the very beginning. They were no more concerned with making sure everyone worshiped the king than they were concerned about putting the man on the moon back then. They just wanted Daniel to fail. They wanted him out of the picture. They were jealous. They were manipulative. They couldn't find any fault in him or what he did, so they aimed at the thing that he loved most, worshiping his Lord and Savior. That's what they were aiming at. Let me tell you four things that are established and built when you make it the Sabbath principle and understanding that it's making sure to make time to rest in his presence. Number one, write down, this is what you do. You establish a heart of worship. You establish, when you honor the Lord by obeying him and making time for him, you establish a heart of worship. Daniel was a man who understood Sabbath. Resting in the presence of God, Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Let's throw that scripture up there and let's read it together. You ready? Go. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. Underline that last part. As he had been doing previously. He didn't just all of a sudden say, what am I going to do? I'm going to get in the presence of God. He had a habit of getting into the presence of God. It was a lifestyle. It was a rhythm in his life that he had established that built a heart of worship. You see, when the enemy comes in like a flood against you, if you've not established that heart of worship or understand that heart of worship that's been established, you won't know how to respond when the enemy comes in. Because you'll understand, missions team, especially right now, I'll use you as an example. The enemy comes in like a flood. Don't say, what are we going to do? You worship. Worship the Lord. Let it be something that you continually practice and do. You may say, well, what about me, pastor, at home when I'm going through a difficult time? Worship. Oh, but I'm not a good singer. Join the club, neither am I. That's why if I do worship, I usually do it when I'm alone. But I tell you what, God doesn't care if you can hit the notes or if you got the perfect pitch. He cares if you have a heart of worship. That's what he's most concerned about. You see, it says in the Bible that he continued. He continued. He Sabbathed. He rested. When you understand and apply the Sabbath principles, you recognize that God is in control, nobody else. And as a result of Daniel's decisions, do you remember what happened to him? He was cast into the lion's den for doing the right thing. He made the right choices. He honored God. He worshiped him. He obeyed him. And now he's in a den with some lions. How does that get all, how do you balance that out? Well, let me tell you something. When you get intentional about resting in the presence of God, you will focus less on where you are at, located, and you will focus more on who God is in your life at that moment. You see, he was in a lion's den, but you know what? He worships the God that shuts the lion's mouth. You may find yourself in a lion's den, and you'll face those moments when you say, everything is dark, everything is gloomy, everything is, they want to devour me, but we serve a God that shuts the mouths of lions. Where there's darkness, he lets the light break forth. Where it seems like it's cold and scary, he blows his wind of his spirit, and all of a sudden there's life that comes back into you. But where do I find that? You find that in a heart of worship. You find that in a heart of worship. So let me ask you this morning, what are you resting in? What are you worshiping? That little bullet, write this down. The reason I ask it is because what you rest in, that is what you worship. What you rest in, spend your time and say, this is where I want to give myself, that is what you worship. Let me ask you a question. This last week, just think back this last week, what have you spent the majority of your time doing, focusing on? Think about that for just a moment. You know, maybe for some of us, it was video games. Maybe for some of us, it was work. Maybe for some of us, it was our family. Maybe for some of us, it was chores around the house. Maybe for some of us, it was watching TV. Maybe for some of us, it was sleeping, if I didn't say that one already. Whatever it is. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't sleep and you can't watch TV and you can't enjoy your family. That's a part of the resting principle. But whatever it is you focus on and you rest in, that is what you worship. Has anyone ever heard of a near occasion of sin? It's in the Catholic religion. Anyone? Now there's different definitions of this, but in Catholicism they'll teach a principle that's called a near occasion of sin. And I really enjoyed hearing this. We had a speaker here, his name's A.J. Swoboda, and he did a symposium and he was teaching about this, and he taught about the principle of rest. And here's how the Catholics define this near occasion of sin. There's many definitions, but here's the one he shared. It's when rest is violated, we are more susceptible to sin and temptation, and we are more prone to say yes to things that can be more harmful to us in the long run. That's called a near occasion of sin. In other words, if you are not intentionally Sabbathing, resting, and being in God's presence, burning the candle at both ends, you're borderline in this near occasion of sin because you're avoiding that principle of rest. and it further leads you. You become more susceptible to temptations. You see, Sabbath is an act of worship. It's when we honor Him through resting that we acknowledge it's all about Him and it's not about us, right? It's all about Him. Sometimes I picture hell. You know, I don't know what hell looks like, and I'm not planning to find out, okay? But I can't help but see in my head a little hell speaker system going on playing Frank Sinatra, "I Did It My Way." Because I tell you what, that could be the perfect theme song that's going on down there. Because we all want what we want. I want to do it this way. God, if you're going to bless me, this is the way you're going to bless me. Instead of saying, "Lord, you know, how do you want to bless me?" And all of a sudden we start calling our own shots and we say, "This is what I want." And all of a sudden you get what you want, but now you don't want what you got. And if you end up in a Christless eternity, there's no turning back. You're not getting out of that. That's why it's important to develop a heart of worship early on in our lives so that we can honor the Lord with all that we have and who we are. The heart of worship is established through honoring these Sabbath principles. And we may not have it all figured out. I threw in there Isaiah 55:9. It says, "For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." My point is this. Don't wait around till I understand and figure everything out, because you'll just still be waiting. Develop that heart of worship. Be obedient to God. Praise Him. Lift your hands in worship. When we're worshiping together, sing out in song. Do you know how many times I screw up? Kim may lead one direction and I'll start singing the other. And nobody else is following me. And, you know, everyone looks at me kind of funny. But you know what? If I'm going to make a mistake, I'm going to make a loud one as I worship the Lord. Because it's about the heart. It's not about the voice. Worship the Lord. Number two, write this down. What is established when I Sabbath? A trust that God will bless us the way He sees fit. A trust. And I could have stopped right there. But I thought, no, because many times we say, yeah, I want to develop a trust. But we need to, when you honor the Lord through obedience, making rest a priority, Sabbathing, you're trusting that God will bless you the way that He sees fit, because He can see things better than you can see things. Do you believe that? Okay, what about the rest of you? Okay. Because the truth is He sees the big picture. There's times when I've had my son say, "Dad, can I do something?" I'll be like, "No." And he'll be mad because I said no to the immediate thing that I'm saying no to. But I know that if I say yes, it's going to lead into this. It's something that he doesn't see. It may harm him later. You know, sometimes we want what we want, but God sees the bigger picture. And we have to trust Him. For what? To bless me the way that He sees fit. Because God sees the bigger picture. You know, there's a lot of times I want God to bless me the way that I told Him to bless me. How about you? Yeah, we don't like to admit that one. Sometimes what I want is not the best. You know what we've got to do? We've got to give God veto rights. We have got to give Him veto rights. Sabbathing, resting in God's presence, builds a trust in our life. Because you're saying ultimately this: I am not in control. God is. I am Sabbathing. I'm taking some time. I'm going to rest and just enjoy what God has blessed me with, whether that be my husband or my wife or my house or a vacation or something like that. But don't we have to make money? Yes, there's work to do, but even God worked and then He rested. You got to make that principle of rest an importance. You will build trust in your life, but sometimes it's easier said than done. This trust that is built, it's done so through obedience to Christ. So that's built in our life. Number three, write this down, because I want to get to number four. Number three, what else is built? Godly character is developed. Not just character, but godly character. You see, when you're being obedient to God, God says, because you said yes to me and no to the world, I know I can trust you with a little bit more. And so He will, and He'll develop that character in your life. But godly character is developed through obedience. It's a character quality. It's a heart set. If my heart is to get, then I'll have a deceivable heart. I'll rationalize. But if I have an obedient heart, then it'll be safeguarded and character will be developed. When you and I, when we obey by resting in the presence of God and Sabbathing, character is developed in our life. If we don't have a heart to obey, we'll figure out a way to disobey and call it religious. But remember, Christ did not die for religion. He died for relationship. He said, we'll figure out ways to become sneaky. It reminds me of a man who was walking down the road, ran into this street person, and this street person was smelly and stinky and dirty, and he's like, "Hey, I want some money." And the man said, "Oh, okay." He goes, "Fine." He goes, "I'll give you some money." But he goes, "Wait a minute." He goes, "If I give you this money, Are you just going to go out and buy some whiskey to drink or some booze or something like that? No, man, no, I don't drink. Okay. He says, well, if I give you this money, are you going to go out and buy cigarettes and you're just going to be smoking cigarettes and that? No, man, I gave up smoking 5 years ago. I don't smoke anymore. He said, all right. He goes, well, wait a minute. He goes, if I give you this money, are you going to go out and play golf all day? And he said, no, man, I've played golf for like 20 years. And he said, okay. He goes, then I want you to come to my house, and my wife is going to cook you a fine dinner. And he said, the street person said, well, won't your wife be furious? I mean, I'm filthy, and I stink, and I'm smelly. And the man said, no, I don't want you to change a thing. Stay just the way you are. The street person said, why? And the man said, because I want my wife to see what happens to a man who gives up drinking, smoking, and golfing. He found a way. And as kind of corny as that story is, our souls will do the same thing, the exact same thing. We will weave a web that will actually catch us. We'll actually catch ourselves in it. Trying to be deceptive and manipulative and shucking and jiving and making excuses. Well, it's not lying, it's making excuses because we don't want to hurt feelings. No, it's lying. And we'll find ourselves backed into a corner. But when you honor the Lord, he says, godly character becomes developed. And the fourth thing that becomes developed is this. It's an ability to stand firm. An ability to stand firm. I brought an umbrella with me today, not because it's going to rain in the church, or at least I hope not, because that would be really weird. But I bring you this umbrella from IKEA, which is Swedish for hell. When you and I honor the Lord, what we establish, it doesn't just happen, it does, but what's established, built, concrete, foundational principle is an ability to stand firm. I just want to tell you this morning, Sabbathing is not for the faint or weak of heart, okay? You know, it's not going to be like, you know what, we're just going to Sabbath today and just ho-hum, let's just Sabbath and eat bonbons and watch soap operas and we'll just, you know, chocolate cake, and we're just going to Sabbath, Sabbath, Sabbath. That's not what Sabbath is. It's not about a vacay day or something like that. You know that when you actually Sabbath or enter into following into the steps of obedience, you're entering into a spiritual battle. You are. Now, at this point is usually when you go, wait a minute. Well, why are we spending all this time talking about Sabbath? Who wants to enter into a spiritual battle? I don't want to enter. You're going to find yourself there anyway. The Lord just wants you to know how you can survive those moments. Because when you go through them, what's the number one thing that you usually say? How can I get out of this as quick as possible? Well, I'm going to tell you how to get out of it as quick as possible. Stay close to God. Stay as close as you can to God. How? Should I read my Bible more? Yeah, 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 read your Bible more. Should I pray more? Yep, 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 pray more. Should I sing more songs? Yeah, 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 sure, sing more songs. Yeah, worship Him. But I would suggest that you make Sabbath a lifestyle, something that you develop in your life, that you're continually staying in His presence. Like Daniel, who didn't say, what? They signed what paper? What are we going to do? I got an idea. Get on your knees. He didn't do that. He prayed. He continued because there was a rhythm that was already established. If you want to know what it's like to make it through a spiritual battle and know what it is to have sure-footedness and stand firm, stay in the presence of God. Sabbath. Rest in His presence. That's why I say it's not for the weak or faint of heart, because when you and I enter into a Sabbath, we're entering into a spiritual battle. When we started this series about 3 or 4 weeks before that, obviously, I'm not the kind, if you didn't know, I'm not the kind of person to say, here's what I want to teach you. I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to teach it to you. So we went through it, and we were doing this in our home. And I remember one day, it was a day like today, where you look outside, and it's all gray and cloudy, and it's exactly how I was feeling on the inside. And I started honoring the Lord, Sabbathing, you know, and taking time to say no to all the chores and that so I could just enjoy my wife, enjoy my life, enjoy God's creation, enjoy my children. And all of a sudden, I just got in this funky place. I was just kind of down, disturbed. I wasn't depressed, but I was just in one of those places. You know what I'm talking about? You ever get there? I'm not the only one, am I? Okay, so I was there, and I'm like, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. And I got into this place where I was thinking thoughts like this. I want to quit. I want to give up. This is stupid. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just saying what goes through my head and my heart, just like that, you know? Same stuff that goes through your head and your heart. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I was in my bedroom. I was laying on the bed, face first, head hanging over the edge of the bed, all the blood rushing to my head. I looked up. It was gray outside. I felt gray in my soul. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. I just want to give up. And all of a sudden, I remembered A.J. Swoboda, who came here for this symposium to teach us about Sabbath. And he said, don't you ever forget, when you enter into a Sabbath, you are entering into a spiritual battle. And I went, oh, I'm in a spiritual battle. Now, I've told you this time and time again, but maybe if you've been here for a while and hadn't heard it, many times I'm in a spiritual battle, I don't realize I'm in it till I'm about halfway through it. And I'm like, why do you do that to me, God? Why don't you just tell me a day or two before so I can get prayed up or something? But I have this sneaky suspicion that if I knew what was going on, I would run. So rather than just run, God just says, I'll just come alongside of you. I'll take your hand. We're going to walk through this together. But Lord, this is scary. Don't worry. I'm your Savior. I'm your provider. I'm your light in the dark place. I'm the one who has the answer. See, God will lead you through all that. And immediately, as soon as I remembered that, A.J. Swoboda said, when you enter into a Sabbath, you're entering into a spiritual battle. And I said, God, what do I do? And Matthew 11, last week's text, came to my heart like that. You remember it? Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And basically he said, Jim, you're in the right place. Oh yeah, things are jacked up, but I'm here. You ever feel like life's jacked up and you just want to know, how can I have some sure-footedness? You see, in any sport that you play, you want sure-footedness so you can play to the best of your ability. Any battle that you're in, if you've ever been in military or war, you're battling for your life, you want to make sure you have sure-footedness because you want to know that you can have that. I can do what needs to be done. You're in law enforcement, some of you here. You want to make sure that when you are doing your best to keep the peace, you've got a sure-footedness so that way you can make sure you're standing on firm ground. How do I make sure that I have sure-footedness? You spend time in the presence of God and he will give you the ability to stand firm. You know, in Ephesians, it says, talks about the armor of God. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able, do you remember, to stand firm. To stand firm against the schemes of the devil. You know, that was kind of a difficult time I walked through, but it was just a season. The Lord said, come unto me. When you and I Sabbath, what we're actually entering into is a spiritual battle, because here it is. The enemy does not want you to hear from God. The enemy does not want you to hear from God. When you and I enter spiritual battles, he will do whatever it takes to cut off the communication and to get you so busy, because the busier we are, the more important we are, right? And that's what we believe, and he's cool with that, because if we stay busy, then we will have no time to hear what God has to say. When you and I enter these seasons of life, into that spiritual battle, it's because the enemy does not want you to hear from God. In a battle, the number one strategic position is to cut off the lines of communication. Why? Because if the soldiers can't hear the general and the general can't hear the soldiers, nobody knows what's going on. The enemy is going to do everything he can to cut off the lines of communication. He's going to try to get you busier. You may even wake up one day and go, promotion, praise the Lord. But how do you know if that promotion's from God or from man? Well, you go and you take it to the Lord. I've known many people who've gotten promotions and they've climbed the ladder, but they did it all by themselves. And they're miserable because they heard from their soul, not from the Lord. That's why it's important that we rest in his presence so we can find that joy that he wants to bring into our life. I'm going to make a statement that I'll repeat here in a moment. This is worth writing down. It's not in your outline, but here it is. God's rest is always more effective than man's work. God's rest is always more effective than man's work. I guess maybe it is on your outline there. anytime you come into the presence of God and say, God, it's not about me, it's all about you. God, I'm resting in your presence, declaring your lordship. You will accomplish more in God's rest than you will in 40 years of your own doing, your own work, because you're resting in his presence. I have with me today an umbrella from IKEA. The reason we use an umbrella is so that when it rains, how many of you went to the Halloween parade and you were down there? It's pretty cold, wasn't it? Started to rain. Started getting that cold rain on your face. The rain made it even colder. So I said, thank you, Jesus, for IKEA. And I put my umbrella up. You know what the umbrella did? Is the umbrella kept me from getting wet. Okay? So while I was standing there, what was actually happening? Well, it was raining outside, but guess what? I was not getting wet. And the reason I was not getting wet wasn't because it wasn't raining, because if it wasn't raining, I wouldn't need an umbrella. But it is raining, and I need some kind of a covering. I need something that will come, something that's bigger than me, a little bit higher than me. And I need something that is going to help me to not get wet. Not because it's not raining, but I'm not getting wet because I'm under the cover of the umbrella. And because I'm under this cover of the umbrella, and I stand firm, and I stay under this covering, I don't have to worry about getting wet because I've got this umbrella. I stand firm under it. Standing firm doesn't stop the fact that it's raining outside. Standing firm just confirms that I won't get wet while it rains outside. And when you and I obey the Lord, and when we observe His principles, His commands, and remember by Sabbathing, and we start to see the way He sees, we start to understand these spiritual principles, there is a covering that God will give you as you go through these spiritual times, these moments. He'll give you that sure-footedness to stand firm. So that way, when things are raining in your world and things are coming down upon you and it seems like everything's crashing, you've got a covering, and it's the Holy Spirit. You've got a covering and an ability to stand firm because of that which you're standing firm in, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need sure-footedness, an ability to stand firm. The fact that you're standing firm doesn't change that there's evil in this world. It just keeps the evil from raining on you, right? Here's the job of the enemy. The enemy is going to try to offer you things. He's going to try to seduce you away from this covering right here. He's going to try to get you focused on the busyness of life so that you don't have time to Sabbath, you don't have time to go to church, you don't have time to worship, you don't have time to spend time with your wife, you don't have time to spend time with your kids, and you'll come out from under that covering. You can go to the right, you can go to the left. The enemy really doesn't care. He just wants you out from that covering. So then all of a sudden, rain. And we get wet. And that of this world starts to affect us in ways that He never designed it to be. God's rest is always more effective than man's work. The enemy is going to try to get us to step out from under this covering. My challenge to you is this. Not only love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, but obey His word. Make it a principle to honor the Lord with all that you have. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. I pray today that, Lord, for those of us that have gone through the difficult times, not understanding that we were even in a spiritual battle, that, Lord, we declare now, your kingdom come and your will be done. Lord, we pray that you would give us that covering because of the relationship that we have with you. Father, I pray that for each and every one of us where we feel that maybe we've dropped the ball, that you'd just show us you're not disappointed in us. You just want us to pick the ball back up. That we make a few priorities straightened out in our life. Father, we want to honor you in all that we have. So, Lord, I thank you for your great love. And I pray today that you would give us that covering. In Jesus' name, amen.